Good morning. Thank you for joining us. We're learning Masechet Yoma. Daf Chaf Hey. I don't think anybody's joining on the Zoom this early. I haven't seen.
Happy to try, but we haven't had anybody sign on. The second shiur we've had.
So we were here on the bottom of Chaf Dalet and Beis with an argument about what the Kohanim would be wearing when the lottery would be done to choose who gets the privilege, which Kohen gets the privilege to take off some of the ash, Trumas HaDeshen. So if we start here in the second to last thin line on Chaf Dalet and Beis, B'mem Mefisin, with what were they wearing when they did the lottery? Rav Nachman Amar B'Vigdei Chol, they were wearing weekday garments. Rav Shesha Amar B'Vigdei Kodesh, and Rav Shesha said they were already wearing the holy garments, the four garments of the Kohen. Rav Nachman Amar B'Vigdei Chol, now starting the first wide line, Rav Nachman said they were wearing weekday garments. Diamar B'Vigdei Kodesh, because if you're going to say that they were wearing the holy garments, then you have the following challenge. Everybody's wearing holy garments, and one of them gets chosen with the lottery. Sika Bales Roos. You're going to have some people who are very strong, very tough, bullies, thieves. Dachamsi. They're going to steal away the privilege. So they're going to be so disappointed that they didn't win and somebody else won, they're just going to run off and do it. But if everybody's wearing weekday garments, then they know that they have to change. Calm down, they won't run to do it. Rav Shesha Amar, Rav Shesha said, Chamsi Babi, they're going to steal it away and do it. Rav Shesha Amar, Rav Shesha said, B'Vigdei Kodesh, they're all wearing holy garments. Diyamar to B'Vigdei Chol, because if they're wearing secular garments, Agav Chavivusei, because the one who's chosen is going to be so excited, he might end up doing it while wearing the secular garments. So therefore, he has to be already wearing holy garments. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, who said that they were wearing non-holy garments during the lottery, said, what's my source? They were wearing non-holy garments. It's not, because we learned in a Mishnah after the lottery, Nisarun lachazanim. They handed over these Kohanim, apparently the winners. We would think, we'll see, Gemara is going to reject it, but we would think they'd hand them over to the attendants. And the attendants would take off their clothing. They would take off their clothing. And they would only leave on them the pants. They'd take off the clothing and only leave on them the pants. And then apparently they would dress them. So my love, presumably, now starting Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, Ba'osan Shezachu Lefayes. We're talking about those who won in the lottery. So their pants were taken off. I mean, everything was taken off except for the pants. So it must be, what are they taking off? If they're wearing holy garments, there's no need to take anything off. Must be they're taking off secular garments because the lottery was done when they were wearing the weekday garments.
The rabbi, the garment of the Kohen Gadol, the degree for being holy is here and the other Kohens are here. There's a difference between the holiness of the two garments. Am I right?
Yes, for sure.
So any person that needs to get that gosh, any regular person, walked in there, his clothing would be holy too, no?
No.
No? When the Kohen,
these were special garments, the special four garments that the Kohen wears, the special eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wears. They're purchased from the funds of the shekels. They have a special status. Please. No, they were wearing pajamas, big de chol. And then they changed. Then they changed into the big de kuna. So that's presumably what's going on, right? Because it says that they had to be changed. So my lab boasts and shazachal fayis. Presumably it's those who won. And they have to have their clothing changed. Now to change out of the weekday into the holy. Amar Avuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo. No, that's not what's going on. It's both and Shlo Zachu L'Fayis, where everybody's wearing holy. The one who wears the Jew Trumas Hadesh, and he just goes to do it. When it says that they would hand them over, it means they're handing the Kohanim who didn't win over to take off their holy garments and to now wear secular garments. Because they wore the holy garments for the lottery. Says the Gemara, Achanam Mistabra. All right, that must be the right shot here. Because if we're going to tell me that it's the ones who won who have that will get undressed, and what's being undressed is the secular garments to put on the holy garments, and it says lo yumanichin ela michmasayim, right? They only left on them the pants. That means that they would wear secular pants and put on a holy shirt and a holy hat and a holy belt, and then take off the secular pants and put on holy belts, holy pants. But if you're going to say that that's what's going on, if you're saying that they did the lottery when they were wearing the secular garments, and it's saying that they would undress them of the secular garments, undress the winners, and then eventually put on the holy pants, how can you say that? They would only leave on them the original secular pants, and then ultimately put on all the other garments, and then put on the holy pants. How do we know that the first of the holy garments that has to go on to a Kohen are the pants? Because that's what we learned from the Pasuk yesterday. And pants of linen should be on his flesh. He should be naked and then put on the pants. So the other opinion will tell you, hello, Kasha, that's not a Kasha. This is the way to read the Mishnah. Really, it's referring to those who won, because they were wearing secular garments. And it's saying they would be handed over to the attendants. And Acho, then Alein, Big Decho, Malbishno son, Michnase Kodesh. The way to read the price is when they still had the secular garments on, they would put on the holy pants. Then Rahayu Mamshishno son, Big Decho. Then they take off the rest of the secular garments. And then, Vloyu Manichel El Michnasayim, and leave on them the holy pants. So then it would be, in fact, that the holy pants are the first thing that go on, which is, in fact, the right way. Amar Rav Sheshes, and now Rav Sheshes says, what is my source? Rav Nachman told us what his source was, that they would wear secular garments for the lottery. Rav Sheshes says, what's my source that they would wear holy garments for the lottery? What's my source? Titania, because we learned in a brisa. Lishkas Hagazis, the chamber of the cut stone where the Sanhedrin sits. Kemin basilki gedola haisa. It was like a big basilica. It was like a big room on top of a second story. Pius b'mizrach, the lottery to choose who would do the Trumas Hadesh and would occur in the eastern part of the room. Zaken yoshev b'marava. And an elder from the Bezdin who was directing them in the pious, he would sit on the western side of the Lishkas Hagazis. And the Kohanim are in a circle all around, like this piece of jewelry called the Bechuliar. And the Kohen in charge would come. And when he'd start the count off, he would take off the hat from the head of one of the Kohanim. And that way, that even if he would get confused in the middle, counting, oh, he doesn't remember, am I up to 19 or am I up to 20? He can always go back. Which Kohen doesn't have a hat on? That's the Kohen that I started from. I can count off from there and I'll see what I'm up to. Now, so again, the way they did the lottery was they had a Kohen who's the Mamunah, who sees how many Kohanim are in front of him. Let's say there are 8 or 9 Kohanim, we're all interested. He takes a number that's way higher. He says a number randomly of 55. And then he pulls off somebody's hat and starts counting off the fingers that are all spread out. Until he gets to the number that he picked. If the number was 55, so he starts, he takes off this guy's hat, looks at his finger, this is 1, and then 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, keeps going until he gets to 55, then he stops, That's the one who won. So, if he gets confused in the middle, he can always look back to where the hat is missing and restart from there. So remember where he started from. So you see that the Kohanim are wearing hats. Now, if you're going to think what Rav Nachman said, that when they did the lottery, they were wearing weekday garments. Why would a Kohen be wearing a hat if he's wearing a weekday garment? Hats are something unique to the Kohen's garments. So Gemara says, not true. It could be that he's wearing weekday garments and he's wearing a hat. Kidatan Rav Yehuda, v'itim Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. As Rav Yehuda taught, some say it's Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda who taught it. Because we learned in the next parak that there were mothers of Kohanim who wanted to show off wealth and beauty and how great the handiwork that they do is. So Rav Yehuda, some say Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda who taught, Kohen shasal imoksones, a Kohen whose mother made for him a shirt, he can do an individual service with it. In other words, host can explain, the mother's going to have to hand it over to the nation because the big day kahuna have to come from the nation. But you see, and mothers would sometimes just make shirts and then hand it over. So if a mother's going to make a ksones shirt, a kohen shirt, and then hand it over, she may have also made a kohen hat, and then we'll hand it over. So you can have a kohen hat that starts off as chulin, that starts off as not holy, and maybe that's what they were wearing. Amar Abaye, Abaye. All right, yeah, question.
When they get buried, did they wash them or did they bury them?
I think they would be washing them. Kohanim would be washing them. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Shmami, now from this brisa about where they did the lottery, you learn, Lishkas Hagazis, the chamber of the cut stone, Chetzi Bakodesh v'chetzi Bachol. Half of it was in the holy area, and half of it was in the non-holy area of the Temple Mount. And you also see from this price that Shnei Psachim Hayula, that it had two entrances. Echad Pasuach Bakodesh, one entrance goes into the holy area. Echad Pasuach Bachol, and one entrance goes into the non-holy area. If you're going to say that the whole thing was built in the holy area, then Zakin Yoshib Ma'arava, could you have a member of the Sanhedrin sitting in its west? But we've learned in Yeshiva Bazar L'Malchi Bastavit Bilvad, that in the holy area, in the courtyards, no one's allowed to sit. Only the kings of Beis David are allowed to sit. The kings from David are allowed to sit. So how could a sage of the Sanhedrin be sitting there? And if you're going to tell me it was all secular, Pius B'Mizracha, then how could they be doing this lottery in the east? And we learned yesterday that the reason for all the many lotteries is to create excitement in the Beis HaMikdash because of the Pasuk, the Beis Elokim, Nahalech Baragesh, in the house of God, we should be walking with excitement. So it has to be in the house of God. We require Beis Elokim, Nahalech Baragesh, in the house of God, we'll walk with excitement. The Lekka, if it's all secular, it's not the house of God. Ela, so what do you see? Shmami no chetzi b'kodesh v'chetzi b'chol. Half of it was holy, that's where they're doing the pious, and half of it was not holy, that's where the member of the Sanhedrin is sitting to direct them to make sure they do the pious in the right way. And if you're going to tell me, if you're going to think to say, there was only one entrance, upasuach l'kodesh, and it opens to the holy area, and again, you'd have a problem. Zakin Yoshib Ma'arava, an elder, a sage of the Sanhedrin, is sitting in the west. All the chambers built in the secular area. But they open up to the holy area. Tochan Kodesh. Then they have the status of holy. Their inside is holy. So if it's going to be opening to only the holy area, it would have the status of holy area. Then no one could sit there. If it only opens to the secular area, then Pius the Mizrach, how could you have the lottery in the east? Because it's not considered holy anymore. It's only considered secular. If you have a chamber built in the holy area, Rapsuchas lachol, but they're opening up only to the non-holy area. Tochan chol, their inside is not considered holy. So again, this is the proof that they were actually two different entrances. Echa pasuach lakodesh, one entrance to the holy area. Echa pasuach lachol, one entrance open to the non-holy area. And that's why you could have these two things going on. But on the one hand, the member of the Sanhedrin was sitting there, and on the other hand, there was a pious, there was a lottery of Kohanim, so that in the Beis HaMikdash, but Beis Elokim, in the house of God, Mahalich Beragesh, we will walk with excitement, with the public choosing of who gets to do the Truma Sadeshin. All right, so the first lottery was to choose the Truma Sadeshin. Then there was a second lottery. Next Mishnah, Pious Hasheni, the second lottery was to choose 13 tasks. Number one, Nishochet. Who's going to get to slaughter the Karban? Tamid. Now, we'll say, what do you mean? Who's going to get to slaughter? Anybody can slaughter. Even a Yisrael can slaughter. That's true. But L'chadchila, we'd rather a Kohen do the slaughtering. Second, Mizorech. Who's going to get to throw the blood? That's very interesting. There's a whole bunch of things missing here. What about catching the blood? What about walking the blood? That was left out. So there's a second lottery. The second determination done during this first lottery was who gets to throw the blood on the Mizbeach. Then, Mimedashim Mizbeach HaPnimi, who gets to remove the ashes of the inner altar. And finally, Mimedashim HaMenorah, who gets to remove the ashes from the menorah. Now the fifth task, Mimala Ivarim LaKevesh, is going to be who is dividing up, who's going to bring limbs off of the tables where they were cut up to the ramp. So the first one was Harosh Varegel, bringing the head and the rear back right leg. They always go together, as we'll see in the Gemara, because the head has a lot of bones. It's not so respectful that that's the first thing that goes up. So it has to come also with a leg that has a lot of meat. Then they would choose, the next one was Shtei Yadayim, who brings forward the first two legs. Then Ha'ukitz, who brings the tail, Varegel, and the left rear leg. Then who brings the Chazeh, who brings the chest. The chest is the fat of the part of the cow that sees the floor, right, the chest. The Hagerah, and the neck, which is from where the head was cut off until the lungs. And he leaves two lungs on each side, two ribs. And the Gera had the windpipe and the liver and the heart and the kidneys. And then Ushtei Tfanos, who brings the two sides of the animal. Then the Kravayim. The Kravayim is where you have the digestive tract, the intestines. Then Asoles, who would bring the fine flour. Then who brings the Chavitin, who gets to bring the baked loaves that the Kohen Gadol is going to offer, the Minchas Chavitin. And finally, Vayayin, who's going to bring the wine for the Nesachim. So in total, then there's going to be, it was the first four that we already mentioned, Hushechts, who cleans out the inner altar, who does the Zrika, who cleans out the menorah. So in total it is Shlosh Esri Kohanim Zachu Bo. The 13 Kohanim getting shares. Amar Ben Azza Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azza says in front of Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, he disagrees. It wasn't in the order that we listed of these different items, but rather Derech Hilucho Yakarev, the karban was brought in the order of the parts of the animal as the animal walks. And it walks forward. First you have the head, then you have the chest, and we'll see what the other parts are. All right. We'll see. Yeah. Ibailu, they asked the question in the yeshiva. Shehem Mephaisim, when they choose the lottery here, the second lottery. Avoda Achas Mephaisim, Do they choose one person for, let's say, the shchita? And then after that person was chosen through the lottery, they say, okay, now the person to your right, he's the one who gets to do the zrika, and the person to his right gets to do the dishon mizbeach hapnimi, and the person to his right gets to do the dishon hamenorah, the person to his right gets to do rosh v'regel, the person to his right gets to do the shtei yadayim. Right? So we go, really it's only one count off, and then everybody to their right. Or maybe they would do one count to find the person doing the shchita, and then another count to find the person doing the zrika, and another count, and they'd be choosing people randomly from within the circle. As the Gemara Tashma coming here proved, didn't we learn? Arba payasos hayusham in the Beis Hamikdash, there were four lotteries. If you're going to say that each one of these 13 activities that are mentioned here in this Mishnah get its own finger put out and count off, so tuba havu, then you're going to have many more lotteries than four. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, answer Nachman, this is what it means. Arba pam nechnasim lahafis. Four times they gather to do a lottery. But each time they gather, they actually had multiple count offs. All right, Tashma, come to your proof about this question. Did they count off multiple times or only once? Come to your proof in regards to the Ktores, which we know is another pious. Chadash and the Ktores. New people come and will have a lottery who gets to do the Ktores. Tashma, come to your proof. Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi Yudom says, Lo haya pious lamachta. There wasn't the second lottery to choose which Kohen would bring the coals from the outer altar to the inner altar for the Ktores. El Kohen Shezacha B'Ktores, rather the Kohen who merits to win the job of doing the Ktores, Omer L'zeh She'imo, tells the guy who's standing to his right, Zeche'imi B'machta, you now have joined with me, and you can bring the pan to bring the coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzon to the Mizbeach HaPnimi to put on the Ktores. So here you have something so prominent, Avodas HaKtores. And they wouldn't do a pious, they wouldn't do a lottery for it, for the machta. So certainly all these other avodos that we had, you know, disha mizbeach hapnimi, disha menorah, they don't need their own pious. Just would be counted off from the guy next to the one who won the first activity. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Shani machta uktoras tuchad avodohi. Maybe the bringing of the pan, of the coals, and the pouring of the incense on them are really one service. That's why they all go with one winner. But it's not a proof to our discussion here. The Ikadami, a different version of what the attempted proof was. What do we have here? Dafka machduk Torahs, in regards to the pan with the coals and the Ktores, the Chad Avodahi, it's all one Avoda. That's reviewed. It says we don't do a second lottery to choose who's going to bring the pan. That sounds like Avoshar Avodas, normally other Avodas, but pious. Each Avoda is going to need its own lottery. So one says maybe not. Maybe regular avodos don't need their own lottery. But machtet strichole, especially in regards to the pan, we had to say that it doesn't need its own lottery. Since it's not something which is happening so much of, right? It's only happening twice a day, the Ktores. And you only let the people do Ktores who've never done Ktores before. But it's not so likely. Whereas when you talk about the piece, bringing pieces of an ola to the Mizbeach, bringing the head and the leg, and bringing the two front legs. These are very likely. There are hundreds of people bringing olos, lots of opportunities to do it. So therefore, in Ma'atra, we know that the Ktores makes a person rich. So therefore, since it's unlikely and it makes people rich, people want to do it. That's going to pious with Ne'atma. Maybe for every aspect of Ktores, there should be a separate lottery. The Kamash Balan that here, the pan bringing doesn't need its own lottery. But maybe other things would need their own lottery. Tashma, finally coming to your proof. This question we have in the Pious Sheni, the second lottery. 13 jobs. Who shechts the Karban Tamid, who catches the blood of the Karban Tamid, who cleans out the inner altar, who cleans out the menorah. How do we do this? 13 jobs. We have one, you know, one putting out of the fingers and choosing one person and then from him counting off? Or do we say that we keep putting out fingers 13 times? So Tashma, coming to your proof. Tanya Rupiya, Piya taught. Lo l'chol avodah v'avodah mefaisin. They wouldn't put out the fingers and count off for each service. Ella, rather, Kohen Shezachah B'Tamid, the Kohen who won the privilege of shechting the Karban Tamid, the other 12 Kohanim, the other 12 jobs that we have to give out here are pulled along with him. We just count off from them. That's the proof that there was, in fact, only one lottery. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So I don't think you're allowed to, because the pasuk says that when Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, Hakol Bichtav Alai Hiskil, that everything was dictated by God, that it has to be in this way. So I don't think that they could make changes to the Beit Hamikdash. Scanners, drones, I don't think we can use any of it in the Beit Hamikdash. The Beit Hamikdash is going to be built the way the other ones were built. Hopefully, b'mheiru b'yameinu. According to many, it's already been built. That's what Rashi says in the Masechta Sukkah. We're just waiting for it to come down. It's already in Shemayim.
Amen.
We're waiting for it to come down, hopefully soon.
Amen.
Please. No, on Yom Kippur. No, that's only on Yom Kippur he does it, but on a regular day, everybody can do it. Okay, so now the Gemara points out the problem that I had mentioned earlier, and it says who gets to shecht, who gets to throw the blood, but what about catching the blood? What about walking the blood? So Ibailuhu, they had a question, right? Said Pius Sheni. First was Mi Shochet and then Mi Zorik. So Mi Makabel. So they had a question in the yeshiva, who's gonna catch the blood? Are we gonna say Shochet Makabel, that the one who got the privilege to slaughter, he's also the one who catches the blood? Diamarta Zorik Makabel, because if you're gonna say the one who's gonna throw the blood, who won the right to throw the blood, he's the one who's gonna catch the blood. Then maybe Adam Chavayusi, because he's so excited and he gets to throw the blood, which is the most important part of the karban, lo makabli lekulei dam. He's not going to catch all of the blood. The Torah says you have to get all of the blood. Odomar maybe zorik makabel. The one who's going to throw the blood is the one who catches the blood. Tiamar to shochet makabel, because if you're going to say that the one who shechts is the one who also catches the blood, simin deshafet zar. You could have a non-kohen shechting. So a non-kohen's allowed to shecht. Okay, ideally a kohen should shecht, but a non-kohen could shecht. So if you're going to say that the one who shechts is the one who catches the blood, maybe the non-kohen who shechted will also be the one to catch the blood. So Tashma, come here, proof. We learned Ben Katin. He was a kohen gadol. His name was Ben Katin. Asa shnei maser dav l'kiyor. He made 12 faucets to the kiyor. Initially, there used to be only 2 faucets, and he added another 10 to be 12. So that is 12 brethren, the Kohanim, Asukim, B'Tamid, who are busy with the Karban Tamid, washing their hands and feet all at once. They should all be able to wash their hands and feet at once. If you're going to tell me that the one who slaughters is the one who also catches the blood, so he should be making 13 faucets. Because if the shochet would be a non-kohen, you need to have a kohen to catch the blood. So that kohen would have to wash his hands and feet also. So you have to have 13 faucets for washing the feet, hands and feet. Okay, so that proves it. This is the proof. Zorik makabel, the one who's going to throw the blood, is also going to be the one who catches the blood. Therefore, it's a total of 12 that are absolutely needed. Shmamina, that is the proof. What do you mean by the halacha? Oh, the halacha. Yeah, that's done by the one who does the zrika. Yes. Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rav or Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi, "Afa na nami tnina." We also learned in a brisa, "Shachar ashochet, the shochet slaughtered." The kibel amakabel, and then the one who catches caught it. Uvalo, and he came over Lizok to throw. So shmamina, the one who's makabel is the one who throws. All right, we're at the two dots now. Amar ben Azai lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai said in front of Rabbi Akiva that he disagreed. It wasn't these 13 tasks, but rather, he said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, the tasks are divided in a different order, derech hilucho, the way the animal walks. So now we'll see that there are different Tanaim who have arguments how they divided up, or what order, what was the order of transporting the pieces of the karban over to the ramp.
Well, wasn't the movement of sprinkling the blood now? Can you go over it one time? Okay. One Kohen sprinkles the blood.
Depends on the karban. Some karbanos, the Kohen comes with the ladle of blood or the pitcher of blood and he throws it. He makes a jerking motion and the blood jumps out of the cup and hits the two sides. Then he goes around to the other corner. And again, he does a jerking motion and hits the two sides. Sometimes he has to come and he has to smear the blood with his finger. Sometimes he pours it onto the base, the different motions that he does. But the key part of the karban is blood going on the mizbeah.
Is that right? One kohen doing the whole thing?
Yeah. One kohen. So now, in terms of bringing the pieces of the karban over to the ramp. So then, as I said, it was done derech hilucho, the way the animal would walk. Tana Rabbanan, who lived in a braisa, ketzah derech hilucho. What is the order when you're going in the way that the animal walks? So again, first you have the rosh and the regel. First you have the head and the rear right foot. But then, right afterwards, you have the chaz of the geira. Right afterwards, you have the chest and the neck. Then shtei yadayim, then the two front feet. Then shtei your tefanos, the two sides. Then the uketz, then the tail. Ve'aregel, and the rear left foot. So it comes out that according to Ben Azai, the chest and the neck are before the two hands. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Derech hefsheto hayakarev, the way they went through the animal when skinning it, that would be the way in which they brought the pieces over to the Mizbeach. Ketzah derech hefsheto, what's the order of the skinning? Harosh v'aregel, again, the head and the rear right leg. And then ha'uketz v'aregel, then the tail and the rear left leg, because they would hang it up and they'd skin it. Then the shtei tefanos, then the two sides, then finally the shtei yadayim, the two front hands, and then achazav v'ageira, the chest and the neck. Rabbi Akiva says, not derech hefsheto, not the way that they would skin, but derech nitucho yakariv, in the order of how they would cut it up into pieces. So ketza derech nitucho, what's the order of how they cut it up into pieces? Again, arosh v'aregel, first the head and the rear right leg, then the shtei yadayim, then the two front legs, and the chaz of the geira, then the chest and the neck, and the shtei tefanos, then the two sides, and then the uketz v'aregel, then the tail and the rear left leg. Rabbi Yossi says, derech iluyo hayakarev. In other words, in the way of its most specialness, that the best pieces were the ones that were brought first. So ketzah derech iluyo. What's the way of derech iluyo? Again, first harosh v'aregel, the head and the rear right leg. Then achaz v'ageira, then the chest and the neck. Then the shtei tefanos, then the two sides. Then the uketz v'aregel, then the tail and the rear left leg. Then the shtei yadayim, then the two arms, the two front legs. As Klimar Bak said, but doesn't the verse say, Kol Mesach Tov Yerech V'Katev? It sounds like any good piece, every good piece, and that is the side and the shoulder. So it sounds like, why are these things coming at the end? If that's the best part. Ahi, that Gemara is saying, is Bekhusha, an animal that doesn't have a lot of fat, the thigh is the best because it has fat. But in a healthy animal, the thigh is not the best. Other pieces are better. The tummy was always a very healthy, fatty animal, and therefore other pieces would come first. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this place tomorrow.